You could close down Moser, the Quickie Mart, but nobody would care. The heart and soul of Springfield's in our Maison Derriere. We're the sauce on your steak. We're the cheese in your cake. We put the spring in Springfield. We're the lace on the nightgown, the point after touchdown. Yes, we put the spring in Springfield. We're that little extra spice that makes existence extra nice. A giddy little thrill at a reasonable price. Our only major quarrels with your total lack of morals. Our skimpy costumes ain't so bad. They seem to entertain you now. The gin in your martini, the clams on your linguine. Yes, we keep the spring in Springfield. We remember our first visit. The service was exquisite. Why, Joseph, I had no idea. Come on now, you were working here. Without it, we'd have had no fun since March of 1961. Shut them down now, would be twisted. We should have known this place existed. We're the highlights in your hairdo, the extra arms on Vishnu. Is don't take that. We won't take
that. Spit it out.
Let's keep the spring in Springfield.
Yay!
Springfield means boners.
Boy.
House of ass. I hate you. I don't know why you have this obsession with having me sing on your stupid thing.
So, Mar, we went to make your fire
today. Oh my god.
Segway.
That was so sick.
Yeah, it was. One wheel jumping over something.
Oh my god. You all can't see this, but I'm putting my hand on my face like Stan on South Park.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're drinking a ginger ale.
So, Maker Faire 2016.
Tell people what Maker Faire is.
Why don't you?
They might not know. I barely know.
So, Maker Faire is a festival celebrating arts and crafts and making and innovation. People come and show off what they've made. Make Magazine is kind of like the coordinator of it. I think it's the Maker Effect Foundation is like what they're called. But they bill themselves as the world's largest show and tell. And that's basically what it is people can come and show off all the really cool stuff that they make. And other people like myself can come and find ideas and resources for programming. Like I found a lot of projects that I thought would look fun to make with our kids. I don't know how else to explain it. Google it.
This is like the third year we've been.
Third or fourth year.
I think you went 1 year without me, and then we went. Yeah, I think you did.
Maybe.
But this year they were having it at the Orlando Fairgrounds. Central Florida Fairgrounds, which was much better. They had it in the Science Center.
Which was a great partnership. It just outgrew that space, unfortunately. Yeah.
Having it at the fairgrounds is much better, though. It's spread out more.
There was more space to actually do, like, interactive making at it, which was really cool. There was the tech take apart again and the lock picking area. And then a lot of the vendors that came and wanted to show off projects that you could buy from them, they actually had areas where, like, you could buy the project and then go and sit down and make it. Like, there was a paper LED bow tie, so you could, like, make it and then put the LED in it.
Were they here this year?
Yeah.
I didn't see them.
Yeah, they were there. And then there was a woman that had a booth where you could sew your own plush monster. Mm-hmm. And there was a lady that had perler beads, and you could make your own perler bead thing. And then there were battle bots and forget their full name, but it's the Central Florida Droids, or there's a group of people locally that make functioning models of R2-D2, and now they're working on a BB-8, and it's really cool. And the 501st, which is a volunteer group that dresses up as different Star Wars characters and goes to events. That's a really cool thing, too, is, like, people get to show off their cosplay and just all kinds of... There's, like, a huge variety of stuff that people make and come
and
show
off. They even
had
comic book people there.
Yeah, there were different artists that were there. Visual artists, physical projects, actual builds. There's, like, a steampunk guy that makes, like, really elaborate costumes with, like, tons of metalwork and stuff on them.
There was a bunch of steampunk people there. There was these ladies that do steampunk leather work. There was prop people there. One of the prop people was
galvanized props.
Yeah, they had some really cool Ghostbusters props.
Yeah, they had a steampunk proton pack, and that was
pretty cool. That was really cool. My favorite thing was, like, they had a jetpack from the Rocketeer movie they made, which is my favorite comic book movie ever, and I love that. But they had a lot of good stuff there, and, like, if you check out my Instagram at Hang of Wednesday, I've been posting a lot of pictures on there. Trying not to spam everybody, so I've been trying to space them out as the day goes on. But they're really cool. They were one of my favorite things I've seen.
That's pretty cool.
And I don't remember them from last year or not. I don't know if they were there or not.
I don't think I saw them last year, no.
But they were really cool. And, like, another thing was, like, a guy, it's like Big Ideas. What is it?
He said it's a TV show. I haven't seen this before, but
Skip's Big Ideas. And that's his, if you want to check out his Facebook and Instagram, it's Skip's Big Ideas. But he made a giant operation game.
Yeah, it was a functional operation game. And you use, like, it's like literally like 3 by 4 feet, and you use tongs to, like, pull the stuff out. It was really cool. And, like, if you hit the side, a light lights up. I've seen a similar project on the Makey Makey website. They did that using, because you can program Makey Makey to be, like, a sensor. So, like, if the metal touches metal, it'll buzz. And they made one that was a Homer, and I guess they programmed him to say no or something. I downloaded the thing because I wanted to make it, because I bought a Makey Makey, but I haven't done it yet. that's something I wanted to do.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
I got really excited when I saw
that. That was one of the highlights. The whole setup down there is a lot better. Like it had these different exhibit rooms and stuff.
Yeah, there were, like, 4 buildings, I think.
Yeah, and then they had, like, an arcade t-shirt room, and then they had an outdoor area for more Craspian sold, and then they had the BattleBots area, which was a big area with go-karts and stuff, and then they had, we raced Sanders, which was really cool.
Yeah, these guys, you know, I didn't see what their group was called.
I didn't see it either.
But they had a little ramp, well, not a ramp, but like a track, that's what I mean. They had a track set up, and they had two power Sanders on it, and it was like a reflex thing, and like when the light turned green, you hit the button to send the Sanders flying down the thing, and so like you got to race Sanders down this track.
That was really cool to do.
And I'm like, I wonder if I could have them come to my library to do a program.
I don't know.
Like, I don't even know where they're from. They didn't have, I didn't see anything.
We have to go on the Maker site.
Yeah, I guess, and go and look them up.
But that was really cool.
And then the that Children's Museum from Tampa had a giant spirograph.
Yeah, I put, that's on my Instagram. I did a little video thing.
What's the name of that museum?
Glazer?
Yeah, Glazer, the Glazer Children's Museum in Tampa. They made a giant spirograph, which if you don't know what that is, it's the little plastic circles that you stuck a pencil into, and like when you moved it around the paper, it made different designs and like a geometric pattern. It's from the 90s, like Google it, they're really fun. I have a bunch of those. But like it was a Razor scooter that you stood on, and then it was on an arm, so that was the, it's almost like a protractor, is that the thing? Where like you have a point in the middle that stands still, and then the other point goes around in a circle.
That's a compass, ain't it?
Is it a compass? Whatever. Yeah. But like the Razor scooter, you rode it around in a circle on this arm, and it had like a bike tire in the middle with chalk, so the bike tire went around in its own pattern, and it was really fun.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I had a lot of fun doing that.
Like of the stuff we bought Mar got a Maker shirt.
I needed a new one.
And I bought I didn't buy anything. I don't think about
actually
anything.
You didn't, did you?
No, I didn't. I kept thinking I was going to, but I never did. You got some buttons from a place that's really cool. It had cat.
Yeah, this lady did some artwork where she took all these pop culture characters and drew them as cats. And, like, I wanted all of the buttons, but I had to settle for two. And I got a Harry Potter cat, and then I got a Castiel from Supernatural.
For your sister.
Yeah. There was an Agent Carter one, though, too, and I wish I bought it.
Well, I got her, like, card so we could look.
Maybe yeah, and then some. I got a sticker that was super amazing and blasphemous. It's like a holy-looking version of Rocket Raccoon cradling Groot and stuff.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really
funny. I almost pissed myself when I saw it. I had to buy it.
And that was from, I don't know if...
Swit!
Yeah, Swit. Like, the guy's thing is, like, his Twitter is @ SpudMonkey. So, like, if you're
But it's not monkey, like, regular. It's
M-U-N-K-E-Y.
Yeah.
Like, but that's where Mark got the Groot, and it was really good. It had some really fun artwork.
The best thing I've ever seen.
Earlier, you mentioned, like, the person that had the...
yeah, the sewing felty monsters. Yeah,
called Monsters Made with Love. And that person's website's monstersmadewithlove.com. But they had really cool kits and stuff for that. Mm-hmm. And
which that's something I'm investigating, like, to do with the kids, is, like, I like this kit idea so that I can give them, like, the same basic materials and basic instruction, and then they can kind of, like, take it from there. Take it away, Aaron.
an artist I've seen that had really good art was named, how do you pronounce that last thing? It's Kate.
Is that an L or an I? Sorry, we're looking at this thing.
It's Kate Carlton.
Carlton, illustration.weebly.com.
Yeah, they have really good art. Like, it reminded me a little bit of Brian Lee O'Malley's from, like,
Have you seen a girl with hair like this?
Yeah, but I liked her artwork that I've seen. I like the fact that, like, at least when we first got there, they had a stage in the middle of one of the buildings. And they had somebody doing, like, a one-man band thing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
They
had some people talking on the stage, too, but...
Because they didn't have it set up as, like, okay, now it's going to be a panel or something like that. People really weren't paying attention to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I would suggest that that needs to be revisited.
Yeah, they need to schedule out panels and stuff and like
maybe
that.
Maybe have them actually, like, unless it's like a huge performance thing, like, maybe find some room or something to put them in.
I think it would have been better like ALA was, where they had the panels at the end of the room instead of in the middle of the room.
It's just really loud to have it on the floor, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But ALA had it, too.
It was super loud then, too.
Yeah. But, like, we heard your voice from one side of the building to the other when you were on a panel at ALA. I'm blowing your horn there a bit.
Oh, God, shut up. That was my first panel, and I don't think I did very well, so I don't want to talk about it.
You did fine. But we're only going this one day this year, mainly because we were, like, not wanting to stress about, like, making it for certain things. And we did most of the things.
Yeah, like, they have a lot of good, like, introductory maker projects that they repeat every year. So they have, like, the make a light up makey button with soldering so you can learn how to solder. We did that the first time we went. And then they had screen print t-shirts that you can make. And we did that, too. So it's kind of, you know, like, they're really, really good projects. So, like, you can walk out of there and say, like, look, I made this shirt today. Or, look, I made this button today. And that's why I like that they moved it to this different venue, because there was actually room on the floor so people could make stuff. In the museum, it was really cramped. I mean, there's a lot to see at the museum in addition to Maker Faire. But, yeah, it was just, unfortunately, it was, like, really, really cramped. Oh, the woman that made, sorry, Brian just looked this up on the interwebs. The woman that made the cat pop art is, Angel, sorry, I'm trying to read it off the screen. The website is, angelsvisions.com. So you can look that up, angelsvisions.com, and there's, like, a cat Ghostbuster, and Winter Soldier, and Beetlejuice, and Harley, and
like
Sailor Moon, and Thor.
If you like cat mashups, like, you'll
there's
love
a grumpy cat Darth Vader, so, like, angelsvision.com. Oh, this one, I really liked this booth. Like, Brian just brought this picture up. There was a booth that had a 3D printer, but instead of using the plastic filament in it, it actually was using clay, and it was 3D printing clay pottery. And I thought it was the coolest thing. Like, I liked the look of it, because it had that layered look and everything, and they made it very, like, geometric in the different designs that they did. I just thought they had a really cool, unique look to them. When we were looking at the booth and watching the thing operate, this woman came up with her maybe, like, 8-year-old daughter. And, like, she went on and on for a few minutes about how it was cheating.
Yeah, she kept on telling her daughter, like, 3 or 4 times.
She's like, that's cheating.
And it's like, remember that thing we did that time? Well, these people are cheating in doing it. And it's like, oh, my God.
It's like, it's just a different way to do it. It's not cheating. And really, it seems more like it's almost for demonstration purposes, really. Like, it takes a lot longer to make one with a 3D printer than it does. I'm sure it probably takes a really long time to make it by hand on a pottery wheel. You know, like...
Yeah.
You know, it's a learned skill and it takes a long time. But 3D printing is not an instantaneous process. You know, something that's like, let's just say, like, a cube that's, like, 2 inches by 2 inches by 2 inches. You know, just envision something that's about 2 inches tall and 2 inches wide. You know, that could take you, like, half an hour, 45 minutes, maybe more to print. Like, it's not...
Well, a lot of people don't understand
It's not a fucking replicator from Star Trek,
when
all right,
people
guys?
See Maker, like, not Maker, when people see 3D printers print stuff, it's a lot of the stuff that's made right now is just to show people this can be made. It doesn't mean, like, in the future we're going to make cars 3D printed or anything.
Yeah, like,
it means,
not
like,
practical.
These are, they're trying to show, like, you can make almost anything with this. So, that's the range of what you can do with it. It doesn't mean you should do it with it. It just means that's the range that they're trying to show everybody how much stuff you can make. What's really good about 3D printing is the price on stuff like when they're making prosthetic arms and stuff like that and different prosthetic stuff.
And it's also lent some of these industries, like, the ability to think about these things differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know... Like, I was seeing 3D printed casts that were, like, being tested out where they had an aerated design so that the skin can breathe and everything. Yep. Like, so it's just, like, it's a way to look for different ways to improve upon things. It's not necessarily saying, like, oh, hey, we're going to replace, like, how this is done because efficiency.
And by the way,
a lot of people equate technology with, like, efficiency, and that's not necessarily the case.
And by the way, I think it's bullying that people automatically think everything that's handmade is better. It's like, no, there's a lot of crap. It's not good handmade. And it's not anywhere being practical. Do-it-yourself stuff is great, but a lot of times it's not practically financially or any other way. It's great because, like, you're doing it yourself and it's fun and it's a project. But with the 3D printers right now, they're just trying to show, like, we can do all these stuff with 3D printers. That's why it's a great thing you can do it. Plus, like, if you got a 3D printer, I've heard people talk about, like, space projects. Yeah. They can send the stuff up to the space. We can send the materials, and then they could send, the blueprints, and then they could print them in space, and then create the stuff, and you don't have to actually ship the whole thing up, or you can just ship the materials. You know, it's like something like one of these days we went to Mars. You would send the materials, the raw materials, then they would have, like, on data disk or whatever, the
data disk.
Whatever. What are they called?
Looking older, yeah.
It's blueprints. And then
they're gonna put it on that gold plate that they, like, play for space and stuff. Like,
shut the fuck up. And then, like, they could print Carl stuff. Sagan. And then they could print, like the stuff for the materials, and you wouldn't have to ship, like, tons and tons of stuff to.
No, like, you could totally have it be digital files, and then you would have this equipment there so that you can make a variety of things. Like, if you need to make replacement parts for stuff, or, you know.
And it could help in, like, war-torn areas, or actually with soldiers or stuff like that, or poor areas, like, if you're helping out, like, relief areas. Okay, you go help at relief areas, and they want to print, like, just small stuff, like screws for stuff or anything like that. You could print that little stuff out, and where you could get into
it. I think you would also have to evaluate that, though, because, like, would that truly be an efficient use of that object? And also, that raises a point that I'd like to bring up, is that, you know, there's a lot of great different aspects that are being addressed. But I do think that sometimes you have to prioritize which needs need to be met first. Like, it's really cool that, like, Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg want to give free internet with their, like, how are they wanting to do it? Like, roaming satellites or something? I don't know. But, you know, he's like, oh, this is a priority item.
Well, if they
keep
blowing up, they won't.
This is a priority action item for him. And I see where he's coming from because that's his background and everything. But, you know, it's a more efficient and, like, practical and needed technology for a lot of places. There is this portable refrigeration unit that they're taking to a lot of rural places that do not have access to electricity, for instance. And they're using that to cool vaccines so that people can get fucking vaccinated first. Like, I think you need vaccines more than you need internet in some, you know, like, you've got to look at it. Like, of course, like, it would be really, really great if, like, everybody had access unrestricted to, you know, all these great advances. But, you know, like, places won't even pay to make sure that people get vaccinated. So, like, you got to really look at what technology you're applying to serve real world needs and what technology is out there just to, you know, like, oh, hey, this is cool.
I agree. And I agree with that totally. And Mark Zuckerberg's background is more or less, like, harassing college women.
I know, right? Like, that's how Facebook started.
Yeah, I told somebody that not too long ago.
Sexual harassment.
But look that up on Google. But, like, on the thing about 3D printing, it's, like, almost setting an example of what could be done. I actually read where somebody was talking about one of the things they could do with not 3D printers, but using that idea with vaccinations and stuff. You know how you got to make them in labs and stuff like that. Maybe they could have all that stuff set up in an area or whatever, and then have machines almost make the stuff up. The vaccinations and stuff. This is, like, far in the future you would do. But you would have the basic chemical makeups and stuff, basically. I say, and it would mix stuff up and do stuff from a far-off thing. And that's basically what making...
I don't know how you would do that with a 3D printer.
It wouldn't be a 3D printer. It would be, like...
you were talking about a 3D printer.
No, but it would be based on the idea of, like, taking the data and doing it away from the person, you know what? Because you can do 3D printing, doesn't have to have a person there to do it. They can be done remotely and stuff, 3D printing.
You can, so, like, at this point, though, you do kind of need somebody to watch it because those prints fuck up a lot.
Yeah, but it's they like really assembly do. Lines. Assembly lines, you used to have people there. Now you don't own a lot of assembly lines. Like, there's nobody
the
ever
automation,
there.
The automation aspect would be, like, you might need, like, one person instead of, like, a whole line of people.
But what they're talking about in the future is, it's another thing that's come with the long-term space travel idea, would be that you wouldn't have to have people always there that could do it. That you would just say, like, I mean, it would be far in the future, but you'd have a computer that say, like, we need a vaccination for smallpox or something like that. And it would take all the chemicals and all the samples of stuff, and it would make them. And
so that's a replicator from Star Trek.
No, because replicators don't work that way.
I'm being facetious. Okay?
But it would. That's one of the things, like, when people talk about 3D printing. 3D printing is not about doing stuff that's practical and works right now. There's very few things, like some of the prosthetic stuff and that, but that's not what they're trying to do. Right now, they're trying to show people we can do all this stuff.
Yeah, it's about, like, proof of concept,
proof of concept. And that's why they said 3D printing is going to lead to other stuff. It's going to lead to, like, the thing I was talking about. It's going to lead to, you know, computer systems that will be able to make medications for people
and
stuff like
that. That's
the cool
thing, because, like, okay, like, we went there, and one of my absolute favorite things that I saw today was a, like, 3-foot-tall 3D-printed Pikachu. Like, it was my absolute favorite thing that I saw today. And it was super, super cool, you know? But it's like, do you need that? Like, do you need Lego Hulk sculptures and, like, stuff like that? It's really cool, but...
Did you see the grandfather clock?
Yeah. But it's not, like, entirely practical. But the cool thing about it is that, like, okay, on its face, it might seem like, oh, this is, like, a toy, a waste of time or something. But it's lending itself and it's gaining visibility to the fact that it's working toward, okay, well, 3D printing could also be used for these great practical things. And that's one of the cool things about making and maker culture is, like, that sense of innovation and trying to, like, show, okay, well, we could do things differently and, you know, here are, like, different tools that we could try to do that. So I kind of hope that it goes in that trajectory more as, like, using these ideas and these tools to improve quality of life and not just, like, oh, hey, like, we made this cool, like,
well,
superhero thing.
You went from making, like, just plastic stuff to now they can make wrenches and hammers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
With 3D printers.
You can make tools and stuff.
And you can make clothing with them and not harping back on the astronaut stuff, even though we live on the space coast. So, but they're talking about, like, if an astronaut gets his glove damaged in space, he can't go back outside because those gloves, once they're damaged, you can't put fucking duct tape on it and send him back outside.
Why not? Duct tape's the best.
But if you got 3D printing, the astronaut could have a 3D printed glove using, like, fabrics and stuff to do it. And those gloves, by the way, have to be perfect. They have to seal perfectly and everything. So, like... So, like, I think 3D printing, and I read an interesting article, I think the space applications for long term, which they're going to need stuff like this, because you can't take everything with you perfectly on the way. So, I think that's going to be one of the biggest things. It's like Neil deGrasse Tyson has said about space exploration, until we look at it as a money way, it's not going to get anything done. That we didn't go to the moon because we wanted to explore and we wanted to be scientists. No, we went to the moon to beat the Russians and to make money.
We went to the moon so we could be like, fuck you.
Until we start thinking practically about stuff, instead, like, we all want to do it for, like, for the fun reasons. But instead we start practically.
You have to have an ability to show return on investment. Mm-hmm. And that's very much why, you know, like, our government doesn't necessarily fund manned space travel anymore. And, like, our astronauts have to go overseas to travel to the space station.
Or be a Backstreet Boy and try to do it.
He was from NSYNC, all right?
Same thing.
And he didn't get to go because he didn't pay his money, okay?
I thought he spent every dime he had trying to go.
No, like, he didn't pay his money, so they didn't let him go.
Okay.
Whatever. But, no, it is this, like, you're trying to not just proof of concept, but like a return on investment. So it's really cool to capture people's imaginations with like 3D printed Pikachus. And
that's what they're trying to do. They're also trying to sell it.
Yeah, you're trying to sell it and you're trying to capture people's imaginations. So it's just, you know, it's finding this balance and then also showing like long-term applications and, you know, practicality and usability. So it's really great when you see stories like they're changing prosthetics or they're, you know, with 3D printing and like things that really just show that, okay, like we can improve quality of life for a lot of people.
Yeah, like we've seen 3D printed like prosthetic hands. Like last year's Maker Faire, there was somebody from Full Sail that was talking about they 3D printed a prosthetic hand. I don't say that word right when I say it.
Prosthetic
hand. And it for his little kid. And it was actually, the hand was a remote control too. And it was a funny story. They put the remote control in the hand so the little boy could change the channel on his little sister.
Yeah. And they made it look like Iron Man's, like, what are those, repulsors?
Yeah, repulsors. Yeah,
like, it was really cool looking. And, you know, that's something that makes a kid feel less out of place, like, less...
But what was... and another thing, like, the end of this podcast, so we don't go too long, they had a TARDIS there.
They did, the Tampa Bay Hackerspace.
Was that Tampa Bay Hackerspace?
Yeah, I've seen it on their Facebook page before.
It was a cool TARDIS and stuff like that. Had to say, as a Doctor Who geek, the first thing I looked at and I said, was like, I think it's too big. It was my first thought. It's too wide and stuff.
Oh, my God.
You know, you can find blueprints on that online and make one.
Yeah, I know.
With the measurements and everything like that.
Dude, we went past that library in Mulberry that had
that
one.
That one wasn't the right size either.
We are not building a fucking TARDIS, okay? Like,
dude, I'm telling you, if I ever get a home, I'm going to have like...
We have a plan about
this, I want to make a bomb shelter and put... No. I'm going to make a bomb shelter and put the TARDIS on top of it, where you have to walk, open the TARDIS door, and then go down into the bomb shelter, and it can be underground.
You should get one of those missile silos.
We could be like, what's his name, Brendan Fraser in that one movie? What was it?
Blast from the Past.
I love that movie.
I fucking love that movie. Oh my God, like Sissy Spacek and Christopher Walken are his parents.
Look it up. Blast from the Past with Brendan Fraser.
Fraser.
Second favorite movie of his ever.
Oh, and then The Mummy.
The Mummy has to be the best one. But we had a great time at Maker Faire.
I have to finish the tiny house thing.
What tiny house
thing? We were talking about your TARDIS house. We have a plan. And one of the one maker aspect that I really like are tiny houses. Now, I will put a caveat in here. I think that some of the builds are very, very expensive and they kind of defeat the purpose. But a lot of people have taken to building their own tiny homes. They are usually homes that are under 500 square feet, often like 100 or 200 square feet, sometimes on trailer platforms. But a lot of times they're built from reclaimed and recycled materials, and a lot of people build them, like, completely themselves. I think they're a really cool aspect of maker culture and, like, trying to find ways to improve people's lives because they are a solution for how expensive housing has become. There's been studies in the last year or two that have shown that a lot of people spend almost half of their income on rent, and then a lot of people can't get homes because they're not qualifying for loans and stuff. You know, like, we've had a huge housing crisis in this country for the last few years and a bubble and everything. And just, like, people are not recovering economically. So tiny homes offer people a way to build a house. They own it outright. And in a lot of cases, it costs about the same as a car. And it's just really, like, a great DIY project, you know, building this entire house and everything. And, I've been very interested in that, and there's a tiny house festival going on in St. Augustine in a few weeks, and I kind of want to go to that, but I bring it up because if we were to ever get a house, what I would prefer is to get two tiny houses so I don't have to live with you, and you can have your shitty...
Oh, you act like this was your idea. This was my idea. My idea was to get two tiny homes. We put them near each other. We put a bridge going between them so we could walk between it.
Let me interrupt you for a second. We saw a design that had two tiny houses that they're like the normal tiny house design, and they had a bridge between them, and we were like, oh, that's us, but with a twist. your tiny house would be?
It would have a TARDIS in front of it, so you'd have to enter the TARDIS before you go into the tiny home. And Mars would look like...
I want bag end. I want a bag end house.
But I had the best idea for the bridge. What did I want under the bridge?
A Balrog. A Balrog under the bridge. You should have that. But no, like, for serious, like, I know you can buy prefab hobbit homes, and, like, I really want one. Prefab and, like, hobbit yeah, home. Like, you dig them into the side of, like, a hill, and you can have, like, grass grow over them, and it's insulation. Like, I just really love the idea, okay? So, like, it's just innovative. It solves the housing crisis. The Savannah College of Art and Design, they actually were doing a project where they designed tiny homes, and they took over, like, a floor of a parking garage, I think. And, like, each tiny home fit into a parking space. And then, like, people got, like, a little area, and they, like, made raised bed flower gardens and, like, all kinds. Like, it's really, really cool. It was really cool.
Do you ever see those stackable homes?
Yeah, I've seen those. A lot of people use shipping containers. And in a lot of places, they're building them on wheels to provide housing opportunities for, like, transient populations, homeless populations, to try and help them, you know, have a stable address so that they can get a job, they can, you know, rebuild their lives, that kind of thing. So I just really think it's, like, a really great sense of innovation to try and improve quality of life for people. So that's kind of, like, what I really appreciate about the Maker Movement. It captures people's imaginations and tries to improve people's lives through innovation.
Cool. That was a great commercial for Maker.
Yay!
They should hire you to work there next year.